seems like every minute sure won't be my last. Well, a minute seems like hours, and hours seems like days.
Will be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett, 7 p.m. G Love will be at the Surf Lodge in Montauk. Tom McCarthy will be at the Even Flow Bar and Grill in Bayshore. Brad Stock with Chip Watterson, Ed Travers, Miles Dayton, Easy Chief, Fracas, Water Street Blues Band, The Falco Brothers, The Toasted Bloggers, Rocket Country, all beginning at noon at Camp Pacotuck in Santa Maricha. Marcy Geller, with Aaron Sachs and Brad Cole and Jeremiah Birnbaum, will be at the Barn in East Hampton, 2 p.m. On your billboard for Monday, September 2nd, the new Christie Minstrels will be at B.B. King's Manhattan, 8 p.m. On your billboard Tuesday, September 3rd, 10 Years Live on the Infinite Plain, Charlemagne Palestine, Joe McPhee, and Steve Dalczynski will be at the Issue Project Room in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Looking ahead to Thursday, September 6th, Ollie Rockberger will be at the Blue Note Manhattan.
Tune in each day to hear where your favorites are playing, or maybe try something different. The online concert billboard at WUSB.FM has schedules for months ahead, so you can know what to look forward to. And look for WUSB Concert Billboard Group on Facebook for any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. Time is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you.
weapons attacks in the future. And I'm reminded in a much different context of an experience I had in my own life. General Dempsey is actually originally from my area, Jersey City and Bayonne. I grew up in a tough neighborhood. And we had a bully in the neighborhood. And I was walking along the street one day, and he just slapped me in the face. And I went away and told my mom, and she said, avoid him. Avoid him. Just avoid him. And a week later, I saw the bully again, and I did all my best to avoid him. And this time he punched me in the nose, and it was bloody. And I went back to her and said, you know, Mom, I tried to avoid him. She said, well, just avoid him. And it wasn't until the third time when we were by a construction site that I got a piece of wood and whacked the bully, and that was the end of it. I never got whacked again. It's not quite this, but there is a lesson to be learned. Assad has made a calculation now through inching up several times that he can use chemical weapons, or he believes he can use chemical weapons without consequence. And in doing so, there is a global message that, in fact, other state actors and other non-state actors may believe they can do so as well. That's a critical challenge for the national security of the United States. And I hope members will consider that as we move towards final action. I want to advise members that I think we're close to a text on a resolution, and so that they should consider that it is likely that we may very well be in a business meeting sometimes after the classified hearing tomorrow morning, and we look forward to working with all the members of the committee. Senator Corker, is there anyone else?
I think you've said it well enough. I want to thank the witnesses for spending this much time, not only in the hearing, but also in advance of the hearing. I look forward to the classified meeting tomorrow, and I want to thank all the members for incredible thoughtfulness throughout all of this, and I appreciate everybody coming back to be a part of this and taking it so seriously, and
with the thanks
of the body, we'll do. Thank you.
With the thanks of the committee, this hearing is adjourned.
I always get misty-eyed when those hearings and the prelude to war adjourn. Look at that. Everyone's hugging each other now. It's so tearful. We only get to do this about every 6 or 7 years, get together and decide who we're going to bomb next. And, yeah. You know, but I do think, you know, we should try the wooden stick. You know, give me a wooden stick and Assad's head, and I'll give it a shot, you know, and if that can save a few tens of thousands of lives, maybe it'll be worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. This is serious. It's serious business here.
Is that some kind of pun? Serious, is that what you're trying to do?
It's serious business.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's serious business. That's what you're trying to say.
Very serious business.
It is serious business, and not necessarily our business.
Indeed.
But it is the business of everybody in the world when bad things happen. But then you don't make worse things happen to solve the bad things. People seem to think, I mean, how many times have you run across people who think they're doing the right thing and they're only making it worse? You know, it's like, oh, I'll move that hornet's nest over here, get it out of your way. It doesn't quite work that way sometimes.
Kind of the whole too many cooks in the kitchen.
How about people don't know how to cook at all being in the kitchen?
Mm.
How about that? They're not even cooks.
Yeah.
And look back on the last decade. Only the last decade. You can go all the way back through American history or through human history if you really want to torture yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But just look in the last 10 years and see how many times we screwed up, got it wrong, killed all kinds of people, killed our own people, and didn't know what we were doing, but convinced. And when I say we, obviously, you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't have to say, I am not including myself when I say the U.S. government. They represent us to the rest of the world. It is we. So we went out and made like we knew what we were talking about, and we didn't. In fact, many times we were lying. Our government was lying. And I don't doubt that's what's happening here.
It kind of feels rushed, doesn't it?
Well, we've both been listening and watching a little bit today in various places. These hearings. I don't know. What do you think, Kyle? You were driving around listening to this, right?
Yeah. I actually heard there were a couple protesters, one immediately after John Kerry spoke, someone from Code Pink, and, you know, the first thing they say is, order, order, and then, police, will you, you know, create order here? And then they kind of bookend the police dragging the person out with how much their opinion matters.
Well, let them express it. That'd be nice.
Right. And one, I think Kerry actually said that when he was 25, you know, he felt the same way. I don't know what happened in the time
And now
the
that
time
he's 95, there. What? His opinion means more now? I don't get it. He really is a lot older than I thought he was. I thought he was in his 60s. He's like almost 80. Do you know that?
Wow.
Yeah, he's up there. So, but that doesn't matter. I mean, people have opinions all different ages. But just because somebody is 25 does not mean that they don't know what they're talking about or they don't know what's right. You know, they haven't had a whole lifetime to get disenchanted with the world. Maybe not, but you still should listen to them. In fact, you should listen to 15-year-olds, I think.
Yeah.
And 5-year-olds. Why not? 5-year-olds often you know, are able to express things in ways no one else can.
Be that as it may, it was the proverbial patting on the head, basically, of dissent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
so,
one day you'll understand.
Yeah, right. The person who was protesting was probably not anywhere close to 25, because you know what? We don't see 25-year-olds protesting anywhere in the U.S. Well, not enough in the U.S.
Yeah, that is a shame.
It
really is.
It is a shame. But I listened a lot, and, you know, it's a complicated situation, and here we are, like, we have the luxury to judge the world, and we see our place as a country to shape it and define it. And I think it's amazing that we fancy ourselves capable of that. We don't really know much about Syria individually, and I'm just amazed at how much prejudice and kind of cursory, very casual studies of these places make us all experts.
Yeah, or, that's the thing. That is.
Or propaganda makes us experts.
Well, you know, one thing that I hear many times is that allowing Syria to do what they do is a direct threat to the security of the United States. I have a lot of trouble getting on that boat. How exactly is this country so far away that's torturing its own people? How is that a security threat to us? I mean, yeah, it's a security threat to certainly the people over there and a horrible regime, et cetera, but to say that the most powerful nation ever to exist is threatened by this little minuscule country so far away that probably couldn't even hurt its neighbors if it really tried to, you know, that just makes me wonder what else aren't they being completely forthright about.
Yeah, and we are the standard, I think, from a global superpower standpoint. I mean, you look up some of the weapons and things we have at our disposal, it's ridiculous. It's,
yes,
like, otherworldly. It's from, like, science fiction or something, how much power we wield. And yet we use the fear that we strike in these other nations. They want to be, what, 15th, 25th powerful, most powerful nation in terms of strength and military might?
I wish we were the 15th most powerful. Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
You know, not
right.
Have to worry about all this. Maybe we could build trains and fix our roads and have some niceness around.
But isn't it interesting how their fear, they feel they have to get arms and get defend themselves with technology and very powerful weapons and aircraft, but basically the standard that they would be protecting themselves, that they would be aligning themselves, I don't know, the standard they compare themselves to would be us. So we then say that, you know, that they can't, that you know, we have to protect ourselves from people competing to be 30th powerful, like very far away
from how powerful we are, but yet they're still a threat. And then it goes, and then you get start getting into these things of like guerrilla warfare, like terrorism, and yet, and then in light of all of that, we delude ourselves into thinking that if we go and thump them on the head with a 2x4 or whatever, that somehow makes people feel as though we're less threatening, or, you know, we reaffirm how we are an enormous power and have scary, scary resources.
The thing is, you know, granted, we are the superpower, but are we the moral power? I think that's a real question to ask.
Yeah.
Why not simply, and I know I come up with these, you know, ideas that are always very simple and I guess like a 5-year-old would come up with, but sometimes the best answer. Just draw lots and assign it to any country in, like, you know, Andorra or something. You know, this small, tiny country. And, okay, you don't have the arms, you don't have the military might, but you do have judgment. You do have moral character. What do you think? You get to decide. You decide, should the superpowers go and kick this country's ass? Rather than give it to the superpower themselves to decide, because obviously they're always going to want to use their superpowers to do whatever they feel like.
Because of that self-fulfilling aspect of it. Now, I'm with you. I think that'd be great. I mean, there needs to be a bit more objective consensus. Isn't that what the UN's for?
If we truly are acting in the interest of the world, then how about the world come to us and say, superpower, would you please use your superpowers to destroy this particular regime? Rather than us having to be the ones to always say, we want to do this, we're going to do this, and if the United Nations won't let us, we'll just do it some other way. History won't judge that very, very nicely, I don't think. And I definitely resent, I was listening to it today, watching a little bit on television and just now, I resent being threatened and hearing John Kerry, who really has turned into a jerk recently, hearing him say that if we don't do that, if the Congress does not vote to do this particular action that we wanted to do, then they are opening up the floodgates and Satan himself will come waltzing in Washington, D.C., et cetera, et cetera. Basically just saying our way or it's going to be hell to pay, literally.
It's rhetoric.
It's threats. It's threatening people. It's scaring people. It's not... We saw the debate in England, not live. I mean, not there, but we saw it on television.
Yeah.
Where basically the Prime Minister tried to get their government to go along, and say, you know, Parliament would say that that they wanted to go in and bomb Syria as well with the United States, and they decided not to. They said no. And what did Cameron do at the end? He said, I don't agree, but I respect it. End of discussion. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow what I was told by Parliament. And he did. End. All right. Here, all right, it's great that Obama said, I'm going to seek the approval of Congress. And by the way, you know, he can't win because he is getting mocked and criticized for backing down, making a U-turn just by going to Congress to get authorization, which is what he's supposed to do. And of course, he's getting it from people like us as well, who say that it's a really a bad thing to do to always send in the troops or bombers or whatever. So he can't really win that way. But going to Congress and getting a vote, we have the impression that if he doesn't get the vote, they're going to do it anyway. They'll find a way to do it. Unlike what we saw in England, and that's how our country works.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good of him to slow his roll. As they say, because it is a quick thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting fighters, getting bombers, all that, the stuff's already, you know, the plans are already there. The 19-year-olds are ready to go and drop the stuff. And I mean, it's all there. I mean, it's a real easy thing to do. It's the aftermath, as we learned, and the consequences and the effect on the people that are actually there that we really don't know that much about. It's a complicated situation, and who's to say what's right? And especially with haste and all of that at play, I think it's a broader, bigger mechanism than just Obama. And it's amazing how the president gets all of that attention. We were watching something about surveillance. They were talking about surveillance. It was an interview with Dick Cheney.
Oh, my God, yeah. Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, his daughter.
Oh, isn't she a piece of work?
Wow. You know, I never really listened to her before, and now I know why. She was on C-SPAN the other day.
She's kind of irritating.
She does sort of sound like that. She sounds like she's inside my head and I can't get her out.
And she held the lapel mic. I thought she was going to choke
on
it.
Did you see that? The two of them, they're on opposite sides of a very long table for some reason, which was a challenge to film them both at the same time. And Dick was on the right-hand side and Liz was on the left-hand side. And it was like she was doing this fake interview of her dad.
Yeah.
But for some reason, she could not affix the lapel mic to her. I guess the lapel mic had some common sense. It just would not stick to her. So she was holding it up like a handheld mic, and it just looked really silly.
Oh, it was so stupid. But what did come about in that, it was in Colorado. That's where it was. I can't remember the press group that they were speaking in front of. But it was basically like the choir, basically, put it that way. But it was amazing the how hard it was for her to pitch the softball questions to her dad, and then have him answer and basically talk about how he masterminded and approved the surveillance that's going on with the NSA back in the day after the Patriot Act was signed, and it just basically taking all this credit for the surveillance and the programs, and he had a really tough time because he's like, I don't approve of how Obama's using it, but I don't think the program should not be there. It's like, he has all our toys, and I don't like the way he plays with them, but I want to play with my toys. It was just so hilarious.
Yeah, because they built it. Like you say, they built the mechanism to do this.
Right.
So how do they criticize the current administration for using the tools that they're the ones who created? But they found a way to do it anyway.
It was really incredible. And, yeah, thank you, C-SPAN, for that.
Yeah, C-SPAN is always a lot of fun. But C-SPAN won't be very useful in getting us the classified hearing that's going to take place tomorrow where they actually decide what to do. So we just have to watch from the outside. I do have something, though. I have some news from Syria. Let's see if we can hear this. Ah, yes.
In an interview with the French Le Figaro daily, President al-Assad says Syria is fighting terrorists, the majority of whom are al-Qaeda members, and cannot be dealt with except through elimination. Russia and Iran warn against the repercussions of an American military aggression on Syria. Our armed forces continue its achievements in combating terrorism across the country.
Okay, we're not going to subject people to that much longer, but yeah, you can find all kinds of other views out there, some of which are pretty hilarious and crazy. SyriaOnline.sy, that's their top-level domain. Go there, and you can actually watch a newscast in English from Syrian television. I mean, it's not from Syrian television, but it's produced. RTV.gov.sy is actually the website for the agency that produces this newscast. And they'll talk about how Assad is the second coming of Christ. Well, maybe they won't say that, but basically he's somebody who is a good guy and everybody else is a terrorist. But, you know, it's easy to laugh at that. It's easy to say that he's full of it and it's all propaganda. But you got to turn the mirror around and look at yourself, too, and ask, are we not being dealt a heaping plate of the same kind of thing in a different way? You know, it's all propaganda. It's all coming from centralized sources with a lot of power who want to do things, and the people just wind up following whether they want to or not.
Yeah, I think the remarkable thing to pay attention to is the amount of people that are out there on the streets around the world protesting in front of institutions. They were doing it in the UK. They were doing it in front of the White House, all over the place. And the thing we can't forget is when you authorize something, when you let something like this happen, they go whole hog. Like, it just opens, everything is on the table. It's like, woohoo, you know, like a big, huge party of all these kinds of weapons and tactics, and it gets right into this militaristic mood, and it allows the rest of the nation, a lot of, especially I'm speaking in America, a lot of us to get into that nationalistic mode. And it becomes very, like, primal, very, like, low-level animal instinct of aggression and fighting and war. And you better believe, if we go ahead with this and start coming back into this mode of fighting and warmongering, it's going to be... It'll dumb down the actual dialogue. It won't be about geopolitical stuff anymore. We won't have intelligent discussions. It'll be about, you don't support our military and these kinds of things. And that is really dangerous.
Absolutely. You know, when things like this happen, they do happen quite a bit, it seems. Certainly more than in most parts of the world. We face questions like this and eaves of all sorts of military adventures. And every single president, if you go back every single term, you'll find that they all have their little military adventures here. But I showed you a film a few days ago that I thought you might get a kick out of.
Yeah.
Might scare the bejesus out of you.
Oh, my Lord.
It's called Threads, and it might take a little bit of doing to get a copy of this, but I can't recommend it enough. It's a film that came out in the 1980s. It was a TV movie in England. It was shown, I believe, on the BBC. And it basically tells the story of the city of Sheffield. Sheffield, right?
Sheffield, England,
yeah. Yeah, we were there, actually. Basically, this is a typical city, I suppose. A very filled with typical people living their typical lives. But in the background, you hear about these...
It's beautiful subtleties.
Yeah, little subtleties.
Emerging as just the background of daily life shaping into this story.
You hear newscasts in the background, and it sounds remarkably similar to what we hear now.
Every day.
About increasing tensions and coups in certain countries, revolutions, tanks being sent in. The only difference is that this was 1980s, and there were different superpowers. There was the Soviet Union, there was China, there was the United States. Which, again, you had your mutual self-assured destruction philosophy going on, which I think, you know, kind of maybe helped a little bit. When you just have one superpower running roughshod, who knows what can happen. So we can have an interesting debate as to if we're more secure now or if we were more secure then. Back then, for the purposes of this film, clearly we weren't more secure because the tensions just kept ratcheting up until... worst case scenario happened. This is what everybody was afraid of back in the 1980s. In fact, there were a whole bunch of movies like this, including The Day After and Testament, and the list just goes on and on. This one was one of the ones that we didn't see here in this country, and I think it's one of the most powerful because, yeah, it shows the after effect of a nuclear war. And what we see is what happens to Sheffield because, there are military targets a number of miles away, but obviously... I think every place in the Western Hemisphere was hit one way or another.
Yeah.
And it only takes a little while. It only takes, you know, a few minutes for this to happen. And we've seen the scenarios over and over again. We've heard about this. But, okay, so what actually happens? And this was something. If you look at the credits at the end of this movie, all the professors and doctors and scientists who participated in this, including Carl Sagan, this was realistic. They were reading from documents as to how government would work, who would be in charge, how certain things would work out in a nuclear holocaust. And they followed that to the letter.
Yeah.
And it scared the crap out of me, and I think everybody else who saw it. But I think what really impressed me about this film, it wasn't just another doomsday-type film. It showed the aftermath. By aftermath, I don't mean just, you know, the days and weeks following. Talking about months, years, even decades. And what you wind up seeing is how civilization just doesn't pick up the pieces and move forward. You basically have a population get reduced to medieval levels.
Yeah.
You have the education get reduced to that as well. You have kids who are born who have never known anything beyond that world. You see language deteriorate into just sort of monosyllabic sounds. You see... all kinds of horrible handicaps resulting from deformed births and things like that. And basically, it's pretty much the end of mankind as far as I can see. If there is a future, it's far, far away. And it's just it's such a sad and emotional film. And I really recommend it to anybody that wants to learn something about what we're facing, threads. We still have most of these nuclear weapons. Now, the interesting thing is, we talk about chemical weapons and how evil they are. And the reason why we consider them so evil is because they were used in World War One. You know, all quiet on the Western Front, that kind of thing. You heard the horrors of what it was like to die with mustard gas and things like that. And so that moved people, governments all throughout the world to ban these things. And if you look it up, you look into it, you'll see that, yeah, they are being banned. They are being destroyed. Even here in the United States, I'm happy to say they are being destroyed. In fact, in the next 5 years, I believe all of them will be gone. That's the official word anyway. So what I wonder is how come, after having detonated an atomic bomb over Japan and caused all kinds of horror there, all kinds of true horror, the same kind of passion doesn't exist for eliminating all nuclear weapons? Why is that? And this country is certainly not leading the charge in getting rid of nuclear weapons. So what is it that makes chemical weapons such an evil, but nuclear weapons such a necessity? That's one of the questions I have.
That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, it was really eye-opening to me, and I basically hadn't considered the long-term effects, and I think that movie really illustrated it well, and that question's amazing. I mean, even chemical weapons, with like Agent Orange and stuff, they're still feeling effects. It is a long-term thing, but it seems even longer with nuclear weapons. You don't exactly become a destination resort when a weapon like that is detonated. Even look at Fukushima right now and the attitudes around radiation and poisoning, and basically it sticks around forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's a lot of stigma attached. And that movie really, really illustrated stigma in a war zone. Even the militaristic, the martial law didn't really do well, and that was sort of the best suited structure for that society in an emergency like that. The guys in the regional areas, they show not making it, not doing very well in their bunker. It doesn't really help no matter what. You can't be prepared for that. And as I said, it's this incredible stigma. And I don't know how far spread you could really have it before the entire world would be affected by something like that. And it's just a very scary prospect, and it's amazing that we still think it's cool to like throw a couple dozen of these nuclear weapons into a U-2 bomber and fly around. It's like 75 times more powerful than Hiroshima, a one B-83 bomb. That's incredible. That's a terrible, terrible thing.
And you have, and I apologize if I offend anybody, but you have irrational nations like Pakistan, India, Israel, with nuclear weapons that get pissed off very easily and will detonate them if they feel like it, if they feel their nations are at risk from some kind of insult or attack or something that they believe came from whatever they determine the great Satan to be. Yeah, that's scary. That's scary. And we read this a couple of years ago where they were talking about, I think Israel was talking about a limited nuclear strike on particular targets, like it was something that was acceptable. And one day, someone is going to do this if we don't get rid of all these things. One day that will happen. How about this? This happened today. Israel carried out a joint missile test with the U.S. and the Mediterranean just for the fun of it. Right in the middle of all the heightened tension over the possible Western military intervention in Syria. And that test is, of course, coming as the U.S. Congress is preparing for the, or was preparing for the first public hearing. Now, it's funny because Russia, I believe, reported this, and Israel said, oh, we don't know anything about it. We don't know anything about any missile. And then, of course, later on, they had to admit that, yeah, they were sort of part of that.
Oh, it's like the neighborhood, the military equivalent of like a neighborhood water fight, you know, like, ha-ha, you can hear the giggling and screaming. It sounds like a lot of fun, little missile test, whee! Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thinking that's going on in the region right now. And there are people around who believe that it's perfectly justified to step it up and to keep stepping it up just to win their particular argument or get their particular way. And I just think the rest of us ought to have a say in that, you know? We ought to have a say as to how far do you really want to go to prove a point, you know? And I think lots of times religion plays into this, what you believe is going to happen after you blow up the world, things like that, you know? Let's find out where these people are actually coming from. Looking at this story here, no U.S. president has ever been turned down by Congress when asking to use military force. Never. And Obama obviously doesn't want to become the first. To avoid that with a request for military action in Syria, he's going to have to win over war-weary Democrats, Tea Party members who don't see a threat to U.S. interests, and other lawmakers who want more details and more time. Obama has supporters on both sides of the aisle in the U.S. Senate, where he'll need a handful of Republican votes, and he's already getting them. He got McCain today, I believe, albeit grudgingly. It's a tougher path, though, in the House, where an alliance of Tea Party members and left-leaning Democrats is coalescing against using force in Syria. It's kind of ridiculous that it's the Tea Party that we're looking towards for this kind of thing and not other more rational groups, but, hey, they organized, and the rational groups bickered amongst themselves. This is what you get. The president drew support from congressional leaders today after meeting with leaders of both parties at the White House and getting them good and drunk. House Speaker John Boehner, who is an Ohio Republican, said only the U.S. has the capability to stop Syrian President
Bashar al-Assad.
Thank you. And to warn others around the world that this type of behavior is not going to be tolerated. Unless by us. Only kidding. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, a Virginia Republican, said he would vote in favor of using military force, and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, a California Democrat, said Congress is likely to support Obama's request. And let's throw in some more surveillance while we're at it. Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, the top Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, said the Senate probably will act first on any Syria measure. He said he and Committee Chairman Bob Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, are near agreement on how to structure a more limited resolution than what Obama has sought. The White House has begun a full-scale lobbying mission to convince skeptics that a bombing campaign is justified and will deter further use of chemical weapons by Assad's regime. I don't think people's minds are changing, said Representative Tom Cole, an Oklahoma Republican who attended a briefing at the Capitol on September 1st. They're probably getting more settled in their opinions. Obama's military advisors met with more than 100 lawmakers at the Capitol for almost 3 hours on September 1st, had a 70-minute conference call with House Democrats yesterday, and also yesterday Obama met with Republican Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who afterwards said they were encouraged the White House had a serious strategy they could support. It doesn't look good. It looks like they're really going to push and plunge headlong into this. And maybe France will go along, too. They seem, or at least the government there seems willing. But I'll bet hundreds of thousands of people will be protesting in the streets of Paris against this sort of thing, because that's what they do. And here we might get maybe a couple of dozen senior citizens to object.
That was a good conference call.
It must have been.
Yeah,
must
I was.
Have been. Were we
I
tapped
was on
into
it.
That one?
Yeah, I was on it.
Okay.
I did get to mention that, I thought the repercussions should be time out, washing Bashar al-Assad's mouth out with soap, and that the bare-bottom spanking option was still on the table. But they changed the subject.
Yeah. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from our listeners, if there are any out there, if we haven't offended everybody by our forthright opinion on the way of the world. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. I'll go into delay if I see the phones ringing. That's the usual routine here, because it's such a pain in the ass to go into delay. In fact, I can't even test it right now, because I don't even know why. There's something broken here that doesn't let me hear what's actually... Yeah, I can't
at
hear.
At WUSD?
Yeah, it
Stony Brook?
Yeah.
What?
Well, okay, you know what I'm going to try to do? I'll have to test it live on the air. That's the only thing I can do. Yeah. Gonna have to I'll have an ID come across. I'll press the button now, and it'll come across in about 6 seconds. And if we hear it, then we know it works. I'm sorry we have to do this, but this is okay. It should be coming any second now.
Hey, this is Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls. Just say who you are. My name is Larry.
Larry. You want to be in on this?
Sure, why not?
All right, well, let's do it then, right? Hey, this is Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls. And I'm Larry.
This is Larry.
And that's Larry, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook.
They sound about as disjointed as we do, but it does work. That's the good news there. Google Dolls. Wow. So okay, delay does work. That's the good news. We can confirm that.
On delay.
I'm sorry we had to test it on the air. But maybe our phone lines don't, or maybe our transmitter doesn't, or maybe we just aren't getting through. If we see a couple of calls come in, 631-632-6901, we'll go into delay and take some phone calls as well. Hear what you have to say. And that's kind of important. Another war, another invasion, another... Okay, yeah, fair enough. It's not an invasion. It's just, what is it? What do they call this? What is it exactly? They're just going to lob some missiles and say that's it? We're going to walk away?
Yeah, we're going to destroy the command and control structures for the Syrian army, including their air force and air-to-ground systems.
Okay, all right.
We're going to maintain air supremacy. I'm going to drop some special little ones on them.
Okay, but, you know, they could use the ground. They could use the tanks. They could use all their vehicles.
No.
And still cause all kinds of problems.
No.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I don't understand what the purpose is.
Going to get in, get out, and let them sort out their civil war. Going to even a playing field, little shot across the bow there.
Yeah,
no,
I keep
no more of them chemical
hearing
weapons.
Hearing that. A shot across the bow, the red line, all that kind of thing. First of all, to me, it is unbelievable that I'm actually looking at Vladimir Putin, of all people, as the voice of reason. That upsets me when I do that. But when he says, United States, bring the evidence to the United Nations Security Council, bring the evidence that Syria is behind the chemical weapons attack, and let us discuss it. Now, I cannot think of a single reason why that is not a good idea. Oh, yeah, it's classified information. But you know what? If we're going to act and start firing things over there, this should not be classified anymore. This becomes a world event that everybody should be a part of and should know information as to whether or not they should get involved. All right? So it's the classified thing just doesn't fly here, literally. And we should present that evidence. That's what the United Nations Security Council is for. Instead, I'm hearing, oh, yeah, Russia's simply going to block. Like, you know, they're abusing somehow by voting against what we want to do, and China, too. So that makes the whole United Nations completely irrelevant and useless because they're not voting the way we want to vote, and we're just going to go around them. And that, to me, we should get kicked out of the UN for acting like that. I really believe that. But it seems that's the way of the world. It also seems nobody cares. No phone calls.
One thing that's
pathetic.
Want to say, in seriousness, a distinction from that movie we were watching, Threads, is the delay and stuff. We've got the incredible power of the Internet and other telecommunications and television and satellite, all these technologies, to be able to communicate with each other globally. I mean, not even in the region. Maybe you've got friends and people that are watching in Mexico or way out in Siberia or somewhere, but people care around the world what is going on, and people are watching and listening and paying very, very close attention and are concerned because this does affect people around the world, whether it is actual weapons or just the prospect of that or people hurting, like on a humanitarian level. We do not like to see suffering and you know, really nasty weapons or any kind of suffering. And I think what's going to prevail is love and people caring throughout the world. This stuff seems timely, it seems immediate, seems the most prescient thing of the moment, but what's going to really prevail is love and what our strength is, where we find that, is really caring for each other and moving towards a better connected and better understood global society.
Well said. I need to test to make sure that our stream is working. I think I'm listening to our transmitter now, so that's working. But this might get a little confusing. I'm going to start listening to our online stream over the air because I test everything over the air here. Because we're not getting calls. We're not getting calls. And it's just unbelievable to me that something this important, people hear, people who listen, don't care. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, should I? And I also can't seem to get the stream to work at all.
Here we go.
And because we're not getting calls.
See, that's
not
me.
Getting calls. And it's just unbelievable
wow.
to me.
Wow. I wonder if they'll start talking about love soon.
Well, people here,
no, because
people listen,
I think you already talked
I mean,
about
I,
that.
I guess I
and now
really
we're simply that. Talking about...
But we should talk more
and
about
I also
love.
Can't seem to get
uh-huh.
the stream to work at all.
Yeah.
Here we go. And because we're not getting calls.
How many of us do you think can be on here at once?
Unbelievable.
You got to keep talking.
I don't know.
If we all keep talking...
We could all...
Well, we keep talking over each other. There'll be like...
No, stop interrupting me.
There'll be 20 Emmanuels and 20 Kyles in just a couple of seconds.
Wow.
Because what we're doing is we're listening to the stream and then talking over the stream at the same time. This is an this is the power of the individual. Because if you simply keep repeating yourself and playing yourself back over yourself, then this is how the Tea Party got started. You just basically create this sense that more people exist.
Or, but when,
right?
I don't know. I mean, how many of us can we possibly get in one studio?
It's unlimited.
Well,
because it's virtual.
But I'm not going to talk over myself. I'll interrupt
you. But
you
are talking over yourself.
No, I'm going to interrupt you.
You somehow talk over yourself
me.
Even when you're
no,
talking.
There's no
I don't
way
know how you do.
I'm going to interrupt me.
Well, you are. And it's too late for that. That ship has sailed.
I don't know. I mean, how many of us can we possibly get in one studio?
It's unlimited.
Well,
because it's virtual.
But I'm not going to talk over myself. I'll interrupt you.
But you are talking over yourself.
No, I'm going to interrupt you.
Somehow talk over yourself
even...
That really sounds awful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets a little muddy.
Okay, but we have some phone calls, so let's go into delay. Guess that you have to play hardball sometimes
on
to
delay.
Get the phone calls to come in, but it does work. It does work. So let me turn that down. Let me turn this off. Okay, I just got to make sure that I don't keep playing it over the air when we... is that down?
Phone calls?
No, it's still going. It's still going. Somewhere there's a...
on delay.
Get the phone call. Somewhere there's a browser open. I'm sorry, I lost track. Or is it iTunes that's doing this? You know, there it is. I got to close iTunes now.
I see.
Okay. It's done? Okay, it's done now. We are going to go into delay, and we will meet you on the other side.
631-632-6901, 631-632-WUSB.
Stony Brook, New York. Hi, this is Dalton Gomez, and you're listening to WUSB, SUNY, Stony Brook.
Okay, you know what? I messed that up pretty good. I'm sorry. I played half of that in delay, and half of that in regular time. I'm sorry, but I think everything's working now. It probably sounded awful over the air. I don't know what it even sounded like. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. Kyle, did you make it over delay land?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Sorry, I have to take my headphones off because I'm in the 70s, and
Let's take some phone calls before we wind up in a different decade. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Do you believe that they hung up? Okay, here we go.
Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Okay, I'm hearing myself for some reason. Please turn on your radio.
Yeah. Okay. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Good. Good to be on here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Good to be on the air.
It is good to be on the air. There's nothing better.
What was that that you just did?
We basically fed back onto ourselves.
Yeah, it didn't sound right.
I don't advise it.
So this is a comment to what the conversation that was going on before about Syria.
Please.
Yeah, so I don't know who else is there. They had brought up the idea of peace and everyone loving and caring for each other.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, that's nice if you live in this country, United States. But what about the other countries where there's 2 million refugees?
Uh-huh.
It's wishful thinking. It's nice to think that way, but come on, let's be realistic.
Well, yeah, obviously there's nasty things happening over there. But what is the solution to those nasty things? Is it to, do we have the solution even?
I think it's obviously diplomatic. And we'd love it to be a diplomatic, peaceful process. But, I mean, you look at the chaos over there, and what are your alternatives? I do agree, though, that we should go, anything that we do should go through the U.N. first.
Mm-hmm.
And get involved in another Iraq. I don't know. I don't understand how the Republican committee right now is just automatically approved. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go right ahead. It sounds kind of ridiculous, but, you know, they go through everything is hands off, laissez-faire. Government can't involved in anything in this country, but as soon as there's a problem in another country, they have to get their hands all over it.
Right, exactly. I just don't see what gives us a high moral ground to always know what the right thing to do is. Yeah, we've got all the weapons, we've got all the power, but does that mean we have the answer?
No, we don't. And yet there's some elites that think that we do for some reason.
Right, right.
I would understand it. Anyway, thought I'd get my 2 cents in. I appreciate you taking my call, and you guys played some pretty good music. I listen to you guys in the morning.
Well, stay tuned, because Finn's coming up in just about 8 minutes, and you'll hear the best music ever.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, take care. I'm going to count that as a no vote for intervention, right?
Yeah, we're going to put him down for no in the love category.
Let me get that too. Let me get another phone call here. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that considering that the Internet is the whole reason that we know about the chemical attacks,
uh-huh.
Do you think that it might be prudent to try fixing that, which has been down since Obama announced that he might strike them, to try fixing the Internet before we drop a bomb?
You mean the Internet in Syria?
Yeah, it's cut off. And the entire reason that we know of these chemical attacks is because of the Internet. Communication is proven to mitigate violence.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it might be prudent to try, you know, fixing a few wires where there's obviously a kill switch somewhere.
Well, something's going on, and it's also interesting because I'm always hearing that there are reports that are seen via YouTube or various other Internet outlets, but they cannot be confirmed. All the things that have been coming out of Syria for the past 2.5 years cannot be confirmed, and I'm really getting kind of fed up with that. When can we confirm some things and find out what's actually going on?
Well, your listeners might actually be able to help. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of engineers and people with lots of clever ideas to perhaps get some information coming back out of Syria, because ever since Obama announced that he would strike them, they've been black. They're basically 2,000 years ago right now.
Interesting. Well, I think you nailed it by saying being clever. That is the way to win something like this, being clever and not simply resorting to the old strategies of bombing them into oblivion. What are we going to gain from that? But outsmarting them and getting the truth out one way or another, that's the way you win wars and battles.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. Kyle, did you have something?
I actually, you know, I think that's a great idea, and we should maybe include ourselves on that,
mm-hmm.
so that we don't rely on media conglomerates, these large consolidated.
We can do from a technology point of view, you know, for this whole Syria. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I turned this down. I'm not sure what at one point I turned. My head is not with. Could you repeat the last thing you said, Kyle? Just the very last thing.
That we pay for.
Well, I mean, maybe the whole sentence.
Oh, yeah. I think we should roll out, you know, come up, get together, creative ideas, all the good stuff we want to hold down in Syria for helping people communicate either locally or in the outside world, should take those ideas and then bring them here and use them for ourselves as well, so that we have alternatives to paying for the really lousy broadband that is overpriced and terrible service and scanned and filtered and
okay.
All that.
I'm going to get us out of the way now. Okay, I'm sorry about all the bad audio here. We can't monitor ourselves while we're in. We can't even monitor ourselves live. It's ridiculous. But good ideas, good thoughts, and I do think using technology is one way to really get some fresh eyes on all of this. And if people have any ideas as to ways, clever ways that hackers can use technology in this whole Syria conflict to get the truth out or to get something, get a perspective that we might not be hearing, or just to get access to people who have no access, write to us. And we'll see if we can find people that can do this kind of thing, or if we can do it ourselves. otw@2600.com is our email address. Any last words, Kyle? And they have to be very few.
Good night, everyone, and stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for Finn. He's coming up next.
I meant in the world.
Oh, you meant in the world. Okay, yeah. Stay tuned in the world as well.
And too.
Yeah, stay tuned to WUSB.
He plays awesome too.
He does, he does. We're going to play something awesome on the way out. We're going to play an old song from Bob Dylan and the band from Basement Tapes. This is about a country that has betrayed your wishes, the ideals upon which it was founded. You might not know that if you've heard this song, but listen to the lyrics carefully, and I think you'll appreciate that. It's called Tears of Rage. Have a good night.
Which we never